Good, thank you for the introduction. Good morning, everybody. My name is Aidan Smingsby. This is a joint paper with Jason Dykes and Joe Woods, who are sitting in the audience too. And we're from the GIS Centre in London. And we're interested in the design of hierarchical graphical layouts for visually exploring data. So I'll be looking at the effects of configuring layout, order, size, containment, various properties of layout, and looking at the effect that might have on the interpretation of data. And the reason we want to do this is to exploit this when we're designing layouts to explore data sets. We've developed a notation called HIVE, a hierarchical visualization expression, which we use to structure the describe the design space and allow us to look at the effects of different aspects of layout. Hive lets us describe the state of layouts, and it also lets us, it provides us operators, which mean we can change the configuration of layouts to explore research questions. We also think there's scope for Hive being used for collaborative work as well, which I'll come onto later. So to start with some graphics, we've got a data set of real estate sales in London over the past 9 years. Excuse me, I've forgot to do something. Apologies. Okay, so we start with a blank space, and we've got a data set of real estate sales in London over the past 9 years. And we might begin by showing the data set by year. So here we're going to show the data set by the 9 years we have data for. We might want to know about what the average price of property is for each year. So we might color the years by the average number of sales for the whole data set. The original data set is 1.4 million records. And then we might want to order these by time, so we can look at temporal sequences. And now we've got them ordered from 2000 to 2008. We might want to know how many properties were sold in each year. So here we're going to use size to show the volume of sales. And we've got the lowest volume of sales in 2008, because that's the smallest cell. Sometimes color is easier to use to estimate quantities. So here we're coloring by the number of sales. We might also want to have a look at how the variation varies by month in each year. So we condition a data set by year and month, and embed the month inside each one, where again, size corresponds to the number of sales, and color is the average price. We might be interested in how the different types of buildings that are sold vary by year. So we might replace years with type. So here, in each year, we've got a different type of property sized by the number of sales, and we can see that flats is the most common property sold over the period, and this seems to be fairly stable over the years. So I hope you can see from that very, very simple example that when exploring data sets, it might be useful to be able to apply operators like this to incrementally explore the data set to answer particular lines of inquiry we have. What Hive does is it lets us do this by defining a hierarchy of variables. So we use the year and then month. It allows layouts at each level to be reconfigured independently, and it can describe state and the operators we use for its reconfiguration. And the hierarchy is important because many InfraVis graphics are hierarchical. If you can think of a scatter plot matrix where it's of population data, you might have a matrix of age groups, and inside each age group you have a scatter plot of maybe height and weight of population. So we argue that many graphics are hierarchical, and so this kind of approach is more widely applicable than the graphics that we're showing in this presentation. And we are extending Hive to cope with other kinds of graphics. We also use animated transitions to help relate layouts. So I go back to the graphic. This is the Hive expression that describes this graphic here. And at first it looks quite cryptic, but you'll see the S higher, the first term here, shows us that the conditioning variables are year and type. So that's the two levels of hierarchy displayed. The layout, we've used a strip layout, which is an ordered row by row layout at each level. Size, we're sizing both levels by the number of sales. We're ordering by a default alphanumeric order, and we're coloring by the average price. So that's Hive for describing graphics. I also said that Hive could also provide operators for us to explore graphics. So let's try an exercise. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to swap year and type around. So we have type at the bottom of the hierarchy. So then we can look at variation across years for each type. And the Hive operator for that is called swap. So O for operator, O swap, swaps the first two levels around. And we get a different order now. We can see the years by type. If you're interested in year within each type, or the variation sales of year within each type, it's worth switching the hierarchy around so we can condition the data set in a different order. Next, we might want to add months and have a look at the variation of the data by month in each year. And the operator there is insert, so we insert month to the end of the hierarchy. And that's what we get. And then we can see some variation here, but it's quite difficult to see the ordering because everything is ordered by row. So we've got January, February, March, and so on. It's ordered. So we're going to try a different order now. We're going to use a slice and dice layout, which is one of the original TreeMap algorithms. What this does is it changes the layers at one level to horizontal, the next level to vertical, and the next level to horizontal. So I'll show you what I mean. So here we've got flats, we've got types in horizontal bars, we've got years in vertical bars, and we've got months in horizontal bars. And what this lets us do is estimate areas more easily because we're using the full width of the screen. And this is a mosaic plot. And so we're quite pleased that we can use our notation to describe a mosaic plot by using these alternate horizontal and vertical layouts at each level. Okay, we might want to change the type of property to a strip layout because it's quite hard to see the variation there because there's only four categories. So I'll do that now. And the operator for that is OLayout, where we are going to change the layout of just level one to the strip layout. And so we get a square aspect ratio, and it might be easy to estimate the size of, for example, the detached houses against the flats. Now, it's difficult to see the detail within detached houses because there's so few sales compared to other ones. So we might want to fix the size of the rectangles at the root level. So we can use the OSize operator to fix the size of the types. So that's the operator. We apply it. And now we can see the years and months with equal prominence. And you'll notice that if I turn on the labels, that years are arranged this way, months are arranged this way. This is a kind of calendar or a diary view on the data. And also you might notice that this is like a small multiple. We've got small multiples of the data by year and month by building type. Okay, the next thing, I'm going to clear the screen, and now I'm going to have a look at spatial variation within the data. So, what I'm going to do now is insert a borough, which is an administrative unit in London, a spatial unit, into the data space. So these are 33 areas of London, and they're sized, they're ordered by alphabet. So if you don't know London, you can identify particular parts by the alphabetical number. We might want to have a look at the data by higher in a higher spatial resolution. So we can use a smaller or finer, a spatial unit of a finer granularity inside. So now we're going to insert Ward, which is the next level down, inside Boas. Okay, now this strip layout is pretty inappropriate, as you'll see, because we've got too many wards here. So now I'm going to change the layout of that to the row by row layout, as you saw before. Okay, now, so if I zoom in to one borough, we can see the various wards within that borough, and they're all alphabetically ordered. And again, it's everything is sized by a number of sales and colored by the average price. Okay, I'm now going to size the whole thing by the number of sales. Okay, so there's some areas like here, the City of London, which have very few residential houses and it's a very small area. And Wandsworth comes out as the largest area. But we might want to see the rank order of boroughs by sales, so we can choose to order the boroughs by the number of sales. And that will help us make comparisons between what's the borough with the most or the least sales. So here we've got the smallest number of sales in the top left and the large number of sales in the bottom right. And this lets us do rank comparisons between areas. Okay, so I'm showing you spatial categories, but I'm ordering them by things other than space. So I'm now going to order them into a spatial layout so we can have a look at the spatial patterns in the data. So what we do is we change the layout of level 1 to spatial, SP we're using for spatial, and we'll change the layout of level 2 to spatial as well. So that's a hive operator. We apply it. And now the boroughs are in their approximate geographical location, given that they're sized by a non-spatial attribute. So if we cut wards out, and just, if we wanted to look at a more conventional graphic that more people would understand, we could change the layout of our boroughs to that of polygons representing the geographical units of London. So again, we apply the layer operator, polygon, we're using in this case. And this is the cartogram of London where every borough is sized by the number of sales. And it's a more familiar layout to people. We might also want to size this by the actual area of the borough. So this is the more conventional map where the sizes are true to the map areas. Okay, so I'm going to size back to the number of sales, and I might want to have a look at this map year by year. So I'm going to insert year before in the hierarchy. And we'll end up with a small multiple showing different maps by year. So that's the operator. We insert year at level 1 in the hierarchy, so that's before borough. And now we have the maps ordered by year. Unfortunately, I don't have the labels of the years on, which is a bit unfortunate. But you get the idea. We can use these layouts to produce graphics that are conventionally used, but when we consider them as hierarchies, this might be useful. Okay, so just quickly, we ran a tutorial on Tuesday, and we used this approach, and the tutorial was to look at US election data. So it's the same idea. We have US election data, so a different data set now, by year, by region of the US. By state. We can color by we can add the party who who was representative in colour by that. So we allowed tutees to explore the data using this approach. And we asked them to post these comments, these Hive comments on the web. So we've got some comments here that some of the tutees left. This is just to show the potential of being able to describe graphics with Hive. If I just paste that into this application, it'll reconfigure to the Hive expression, showing the, in this case, the electoral college votes by state. And Hive isn't restricted to this type of software. It could also be used in interpreted by other software. So we've got another piece of software here where we could paste the same expression in, and we get an English language description of what Hive statement means. So to conclude, I would say that many InfoViz techniques are hierarchical, and especially acknowledging these draws attention to their hierarchical properties. Layout, order, size, color are all properties of display that is worth changing. We can change the hierarchy of variables to show data by different attributes. The hierarchical visualization expression language lets us describe these, provides operators for changing these, and we think they can be used to help document the data exploration process and also in collaborative work. I just have some resources, so thank you for listening.
Any questions? And remember to state your name and affiliation.
Hello, thank you for the presentation. Harald Bieringer from VRIS Research Center in Vienna, Austria. What you're doing is analyzing properties of categories of a hierarchy which has been created by dimension composition and using small multiples. The first thing that comes to my mind in this context is the Blow software Polaris. Okay. Have you made any comparison to this well-known and famous systems?
Okay, I don't know Polaris.
It's the same as Tableau software. Tableau software is the commercial.
Yeah. I've had a look at some OLAP software, some online analytical processing software, and these OLAP cubes, which do a similar thing. What this does is it lets you... it's more... I suppose here we're developing like a framework for graphics. So... While I've talked about these graphics in this presentation, we hope that this idea of having a hierarchy and having reconfigurable properties at each level will apply to other visualizations as well. So these graphics were just ones used in our paper. We're extending it further, but there are definitely links with these kind of systems. So thank you for pointing that out.
It would be interesting to compare which one is more intuitive for which task.
Yes, it would. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, Niels Gilmore, European Bioinformatics Institute. How does the software scale? So how many years could you show? Could you show 1,000 years?
And okay. Well, first of all, I'd say that the focus of this presentation wasn't the software nor the data. It was on the framework. But the data I showed you, the original data set was 1.25 million records. These were then aggregated into the smallest units possible, so year, state, year, borough, ward, etc., month, and that came to 200,000. So currently, I mean, the lag time there was because it's summarizing the data for 200,000 records and displaying it. You could get speed increases by caching that, by pre-computing the summaries, but at the moment, 200,000 records.
Thank you.
Okay, let's thank the speaker.